Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V, along with SD. We are She Talks Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, a safe place to lay your heart.
Whichever time you are listening, I am SD here with my co-host Lady V.
Hey, hey.
Now, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you will be alerted when we upload new episodes.
Yes.
Now, before we get started, we must send blessings to our regular listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
North Carolina, California, Ohio, blessings to you all.
Yes.
Florida, Illinois, Arkansas, we're sending blessings your way.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Tennessee, Texas, Connecticut, thank you guys for listening. And we cannot go without sending blessings to the other countries around the world that are listening. Canada, France, Philippines, South Africa, Belgium, we ain't forgot you, Singapore.
Yes.
We just thank you guys so much.
Shout out to Pastor Prince.
We thank you guys so much for listening, and we pray that our content is blessing you.
Yes.
And that we are pointing you to Jesus.
Yes.
Because that is what we want to do.
Yes.
As we spread hope everywhere.
Everywhere. Yes.
So, Lady V, let's go and get started.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, today's episode, of course, is titled A Safe Place to Lay Your Heart. That's right. Heart, not head, heart. And there's a reason for that. You know, all of us have made big mistakes, and some of us have even, you know, worked in jobs, you know, maybe even did things that we may not, you know, been too proud of. We may have even been ashamed of, you know. And, you know, some things we may have done in our past, or we could, you know, probably wish we could, you know, could forget that we did it, you know, because we knew that were a mistake. We wish we had like an eraser to clean a chalkboard to do it over again to get a fresh start. And, you know, of course, when folks know your mistakes, you know, there are always going to be somebody that doesn't mind treating, you know, us like we're beneath them because of it. And, you know, I know this, you know, can mess with anyone's mind because, you know, we all want to know that we matter. We want to be treated fairly with respect, you know, and who wants to be degraded and treated like a second class citizen?
Right.
I mean, you know, we all have mishandled our lives one way or another. You know, we all have sinned and nobody is perfect but Jesus.
That's right.
So, you know, beloved, you know, today, you know, what we seek to do is to speak to those who have a heart that's been broken or mishandled, to those whose hearts have been placed in the wrong hands and shattered into pieces, and to those who have been looked upon or treated as worthless, to those have encountered a hard life as an outcast, and to those that who feels, you know, sometimes you feel about yourself like you're just not good enough or you're not measuring up, you know. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus can give you a new start.
Yes, he can.
And a new identity.
Yes.
And it starts at where you lay your heart. So now let me share a story with you out of the Word of God about a prostitute whose heart was broken. She was no doubt mistreated, mocked, called all kinds of names, degraded, picked apart because of what her occupation was, you know. And who knows if this prostitute, and this is just me speaking here, to trying to relate it to today's time as well. Who knows if this prostitute that came to Jesus was someone who was on the street because she wanted to feed her children,
or
because
know.
You don't know, or because maybe she was homeless and, you know, this was the way she would eat, is to, you know, prostitute. And it's not me glorifying prostitution, it's saying everyone has a story.
That's right.
Not everyone is doing a job that doesn't seem that great for, because they just enjoy it. Some people feel they have no other choice. And I'm here to today to just give you a glimpse into how Jesus treated this woman that people knew as a prostitute that lived on the street. So I want you to see something about how Jesus treats people that other people may look as less than,
right,
or beneath them. So here, you know, I'm going to read in the text of Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. You know, I may kind of paraphrase a little bit as I go along, where you can learn, you know, love and the fullness of grace and mercy and what it looks like. Mm-hmm. This is a story about a prostitute who pours her heart out before Jesus. But, you know, he didn't turn her away. He didn't ignore her. He didn't tear her down. But he unveiled grace and love and mercy to her. He showed her that she mattered to him, she mattered to God, mm-hmm. and her heart was safe with him.
Right.
So this woman came to Jesus. Obviously, she'd heard about him, you know, before all of this. You know, it had been a buzz in town. Jesus had raised a young man to life. He had healed this centurion servant that was dying. He had set people free. I mean, word had got around about this Jesus who was forgiving sins, who was healing people, delivering people from demonic spirits. So word had got around. So, you know, to set this up, you know, this picture up. This is a woman who had heard about Jesus. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, so here we go in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, it says, afterward, a Jewish, religious leader named Simon asked Jesus to his home for dinner, and Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simon's home, he took his place at the table. Mm-hmm. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets known to all to be a prostitute, and she heard about Jesus being in Simon's house. She took an exquisite flask made of alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of a Jewish religious leader, and knelt at the feet of Jesus in front of all of the guests. Now, obviously, this woman was not invited, okay? Mm-hmm. She was not invited to the dinner party, but she was going seeking Jesus, and she didn't care what people said about her. When she walked in the building, she didn't care if people were throwing taunts at her or looking at her. She knew she had to get before Jesus.
Yes.
And this is what, and she was willing to take this risk to walk up in this house, in a place where she was not welcome, of mm-hmm. course, because there was a lot of religious people there, snooty people, judgmental people. So, of course, this was not some place that was her scene,
right.
You know, so she walks up in there fully dressed as a streetwalker, walked in there with her heart to lay it at Jesus' feet. Now, verse 38 says, broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair over and over. She kissed Jesus' feet. Then she opened her flask, and that's her perfume bottle, and anointed his feet with her costly perfume as an act of worship. Now, let's note here, her tears were carrying her pain.
Mm-hmm.
Those tears were saying something. She was essentially pouring out all that was in her heart mm-hmm. before Jesus. And through her tears, there was a voice that spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it, you know, when you've been heartbroken, you know, beat down in the spirit, and you know, all you can do is cry and cry. You only have no words, you
mm-hmm.
know. And but your tears, you know, I would say, are a language within itself.
Yeah.
You know, and for all you mothers out there, all you caregivers of children, you know what I'm talking about, especially mothers. Now, mothers, you know, when your baby cries, the first language of communication they know is crying.
That's right.
When they're hungry, there's a different cry from sleepy. There's a different cry from having a soiled diaper. There's a different cry from being in pain.
Right.
So, you know, as mothers, we know those babies, they have a different cry for a different need.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their first language for those babies that are born with a voice
mm-hmm.
And not born mute. So, you know, this prostitute, essentially, when she came and knelt before Jesus, she was behind him when I said, you know, when she knelt at his feet, her tears were falling enough on his feet to wash his feet. And that lets you know she was relaying a message to him as not only hurt, but at the same time, because she had heard about how he was forgiving people of sins and he was healing people, she knew he was the answer to her life being changed.
Yeah.
So this was all not only tears of brokenness poured out before him, but tears of worship, love, and adoration toward Jesus. So in verse 39, it says, when Simon saw what was happening, he thought, this man can't be a true prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman is touching him. Mm-hmm. Now, this is another side note. Now, let me point out something about Simon, this religious leader. You know, he didn't care that this woman was bawling her eyes out before Jesus.
Right.
All he was really concerned about was that he thought Jesus couldn't see who she was. He couldn't see the sin mm-hmm. that she was living in. And he thought, well, he can't really be a real prophet because, you know, he just assumed that, you know, because Jesus wasn't treating her like he was treating her, mm-hmm. like she was nothing. Jesus was treating her with respect. He wasn't dismissing her. This Simon, this Pharisee was just like, basically judging Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. saying he ain't no real prophet, you know. But this man, again, this Simon, this Pharisee, he was not even concerned about why was this woman so distraught. Right. This man, this Pharisee, this religious leader, he had no kind of compassion for this woman,
right?
You know, and he was judging Jesus because Jesus did have compassion mm-hmm. Toward her, and she was just honoring Jesus, kissing his feet and pouring out expensive perfume on his feet, and you know that was just her act of worship. That's all she knew how to worship him, was to show love in that way. It was nothing sexual. It was nothing out of the way. Mm-mm. And using some expensive perfume, that was her saying he was worth pouring that perfume out on, mm-hmm. you know, to wash his feet, to clean his feet off, because when they wore sandals and walked everywhere, their feet got dusty. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Jesus, verse 40, you know, Jesus said, Simon, I have a word for you. And then, you know, Simon was like, okay, go ahead, teacher. You know, I want to hear it, you know. And Jesus tells this story. He said, it's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and some translations say 500 denarii, and the other owed $10,000. We're talking about U.S. dollars, okay? Mm-hmm. And another translation says 50 denarii. It says, when it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them of all they owed. And Jesus says, tell me, Simon, which of the two debtors would be the most thankful? Which one would love the banker the most? And Simon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greatest debt forgiven, you know. And Jesus was like, you know, you're right. You're right. It would be. And then Jesus spoke to Simon about the woman that was weeping at his feet. Jesus says, don't you see this woman kneeling here? She's doing for me what you didn't bother to do. Mm-hmm. When I entered your home as a guest, you didn't even think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting. But from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Mm. She has been forgiven of all her many sins. This mm-hmm. is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little.
That's right.
Then Jesus said to the woman at his feet, he says, all your sins are forgiven. And that's what she came there for.
That's what she came
She came there for Jesus to give her a new start and say, listen, your sins are forgiven. You are healed, you know, of this brokenness. You know, go and hold your head up high now. Mm-hmm. Don't sin no more though. You know? Mm-hmm. So, but having faith in Jesus, you know, and giving your heart to Jesus is the results of course, forgiveness of our sins, not mm-hmm. by the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. And that story also makes me think in terms of mm-hmm. how Peter, there he was, when you think of the story that Jesus told them about the two men and one owed more than the other, mm-hmm. and, you know, shouldn't the one who was forgiven of more been more mm-hmm. thankful, mm-hmm. you know? And I think about how when you were saying that that less, you said something about
the one that feels like they have sinned less, mm-hmm. they don't have as much love for Jesus because right. they already and think they're perfect because, you know, they feel like they their own savior.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, they feel like their works and mm-hmm. everything that mm-hmm. they've done.
The pat goes on their back.
Yeah, the pat goes uh-huh, on their back.
The glory goes done, to them. Mm-hmm.
You know,
instead of to Jesus who belongs.
I followed the law perfectly. I, mm-hmm. you know, I did this perfectly. Mm-hmm. And look at her. Mm-hmm. She's out there just sinning all over the mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. You know, how dare she come into his, you know, and bow down to his feet. They probably didn't even think she had a right to be in the same room with him.
But I don't think it necessarily meant just him. I think they thought she didn't belong in there with none of them.
Right.
I think this Pharisee thought that they, you know, everybody in the room were too good for her to be in there. But even the Pharisees' motives were suspect of why he invited Jesus there.
Right.
Because it was a trap to get him. They was trying to get him to say something that would go against the law of Moses so they could go back and try to get him killed. That was all a part of plot and a plan.
Right.
That's why he didn't receive any respect when he came in the doorway, because it was customary to greet them, the guests coming into your home, with a kiss.
Right.
And it was customary to offer them water to wash the dirt off of their feet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, neither, you know, did this man, this Simon Pharisee, he didn't do none of that. It was customary to get oil to anoint their head.
Right.
He didn't do any of that. So it's basically like Jesus walked in and Simon looked and saw him come through the door and kept on talking to his guests. Oh, it ain't nobody but Jesus. He,
uh-huh.
Why you invite him? Well, you know, I'm trying to see who he really is.
They classed him and her in the same.
Because, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, because he was saying he ain't really a prophet. So he was judging Jesus as if even Jesus didn't even know. So his motives, the Pharisee, his motives were not genuine for him inviting Jesus there. It was still all a plot to trap him up in something. But yeah, this woman was looked down upon like she didn't belong there with all the dinner guests. And, you know, because in verse 49 it says all the dinner guests said among themselves, who is this one who can even forgive sins? And they was even questioning why Jesus was thinking he could tell her sins were forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life.
Right.
Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. So he's saying you don't have to walk distraught no more.
Right.
You don't have to walk tormented in your spirit no more, that you have this scarlet letter on your forehead or this stain on your forehead, like because of what you've done or how you sin. When Jesus said, I'm giving you a new start. Now, again, you know, by this woman's act of worship, she laid her heart in the Lord's hands, giving over her heart to Jesus, which is an act of showing love and devotion to God. But she was not only forgiven of all her sins and her faith in Jesus, but she was given a new start. She was given peace. Jesus was telling her, go in peace. He was giving her, he's the peacemaker.
Yeah.
So he was saying, I'm giving you peace. Go in peace, you know, and which sets us free, you know, and no longer matters what people say about you. You know, when you turn from your old life of sinful ways to a new life in Christ, when you want to honor God with your body as a vessel, that peace that he can give you can deliver you from feeling downtrodden from the way you used to act, or mm-hmm. from ways you might still think that are still not right, that are sinful thoughts. That peace he gives you is like, don't live in shame and guilt. You know, mm-hmm. I have come to forgive the sins of the world. All you got to do is receive that I have done this for you and receive the payment, the ransom that, you know, Jesus paid for us.
Yeah.
You know, but the one thing I wanted to focus on in this passage was, of course, her worship from Jesus and her, you know, her honoring him and him forgiving her sins, but also that she was somebody that mattered to God.
Right.
You know, so when you're thinking that because of what you've done or what kind of job you have, you're a stripper or you're a prostitute or you were in the slave trade or whatever, you know, don't think because of what's been done to you or what you've used your body for has made you worthless to God.
Right.
Jesus can restore you to anew.
Yes,
and it's not the body he's restoring your spirit. You know, your spirit and your spirit, that's really who you are. And what you think about yourself, you can be broken in spirit and that's going to tear your body down. Mm-hmm. You're going to have disease in your body if you're broken in your spirit, or people are constantly tearing you down in your spirit and you're feeling downtrodden, degraded, or you feeling worthless. That's going to break you down in your body because it's going to cause disease, because all you're going to be thinking about is those negative thoughts, those negative emotions. It's going to just bombard and steal any peace that you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about receiving Jesus and giving your heart to him, laying your heart before him, he can take your heart and he can show you that he can restore. He can put those pieces back together.
Yes,
he can give you a new start, because God is the potter and we're the clay. And when we're in the potter's hands, he can restore those cracks. And though if what someone else threw down on the ground and trampled upon and broke up, God can say, I got the glue to put it back together forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make it all new. You don't even see the cracks no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how he makes us a new creation. He changes us from the inside out.
Right.
So again, her heart mattered to God. And I want to point this out. Her heart mattered to God, and she mattered to Jesus, and Jesus is indeed God. And that's with any believer, you know. And, you know, when you believe in Jesus, your heart is safe with him.
Right.
You know, people can break your heart, twist it, throw it aside, act like it means nothing. But Jesus said, if you come to me, you know, he's going to give you peace.
Yes.
You know, he's going to give you joy. And it's a peace, it's a joy that nobody else can bring to you, you know, because it's a peace that's without conditions. You know, it's an unconditional love. Okay. So this prostitute now no longer, and Jesus asked, because he kept calling her the woman, you know, although he said she had many sins, he's still calling her the woman. He wasn't calling her this sinful woman, this sin-filled woman that, you know, no, mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't doing that. You know, mm-hmm. he was giving her a new identity. He was letting her know, I see you as a woman. That's what she was created as a woman. She wasn't created as a prostitute. So her job didn't, or her sin did not make who she was. Her mistake did not make who she was, you know. So now she had a new identity. Now at the feet of Jesus, she had a new identity. She was now in Christ. She was a child of God. So, you know, I say again, when you think about placing your heart in someone's care, consider Jesus.
That's right.
You know, can't nobody care for your heart like Jesus? And we can testify to that. You know, I don't had many broken relationships and just had my heart just shattered and tossed to the side. But it's been God every time. It's been the Lord Jesus every time that's come right in. Holy Spirit giving me words of affirmation that God loves me and that I am important to God. And I'm here to say that to whoever's listening, because I know whenever we do a podcast, it's for somebody.
That's right.
We pray about that. We ask God, help us to speak to somebody. If it's one person, thank God for the one person if they receive that healing and wholeness through Jesus, through our speaking to them through this podcast, because that's what it's all about, spreading that hope, spreading that love of the Lord Jesus to the world, that love of God to the world. You know, so again, you know, we know how God can pick us up and put us back together, and how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one that has given us that peace in the midst of times of trouble, that peace whenever our heart has been misused or mishandled. And he can pick us right up, you know, and say, you know what, I love you. You know, you are of value and of worth to me. And I mean, hey, if you, you know, you are value and worth to God, you know, it don't matter what man say about you. God before you, he greater than the whole world against you, you know. So just remember that God is for you. So you do have value, and you can begin again. You know, you can trust your heart with Jesus. You can get back up again with his help.
That's right.
I said again, with his help, with the help of his Holy Spirit, with the help of his word that helps transform your mind to give you a new way to think. New way to think about yourself. The word of God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, if your parents is telling you you're junk or you're a joke, God said you're wonderfully made. Whose word are you going to take? You know, I would take the creator of the world, word. You know, I would take God's word for who you are. He said you're marvelously made. So receive that. So here are some takeaway points. Number one, Jesus is in the restoration business.
Yes, he is.
Can't nobody else do it like him. No matter how raggedy you think your life is, or no matter how many mistakes you've made, you can come to Jesus and give your heart to him. Lay your heart at his feet.
And don't he will take care of your heart. Make you feel like what you did is who you're going to be. Because, you know, you might have done some things in the past. You might be in the midst of doing something right now that, you know, you're not proud of or whatever. But just know, as long as there's breath in your body, there is another day.
That's right.
As long as you're breathing, you can make them steps forward. And then when you trust Jesus and you allow him to lead you, he will lead you right out of it. He is a safe place to lay your heart.
That's right. That's right. He'll clean you up. He'll give you a new life, a new identity, a fresh start. And two, you are not defined by your past or your present mistakes. Jesus can transform you to the masterpiece you were created to be. And though life comes with its rough patches and jagged edges, you can overcome the darkness and step into the light in Christ. You are a victor, not a victim.
That's right.
And three, and lastly, you know, God's love for you will never run out. You were created out of his love and in his image. You matter to God. You matter so much that God sent his son into the world so that he could save you, me, everybody else from sinful ways that would eat away at our lives and leave us desolate and broken. But the good news is that with Jesus, you can be comforted and guided by an unseen partner, his Holy Spirit. We're not going to leave him out. We're going to keep him right there in the midst. So, you know, your life, you know, just know your life has purpose. You were not born for no reason. Even a child birthed out of rape or incest or molestation, you, that child still has a purpose here on this earth. God is not going to waste a life, so we shouldn't either. So just know your life has a purpose, and it was meant to be used to glorify God. And so, you know, while I'm closing this session out, I want to read John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. And normally I do try to read this because this is an important part of the scripture, and it's proof of God's love for us and the importance of choosing to have faith in his son, Jesus. John 3, verse 16 through 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." So for all those out there hearing people out there just condemn you for everything you've done, that's not why God sent Jesus here. God sent Jesus here to save the world through him. That's what the word says. And whoever believes in him will not is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. So that's where the condemnation comes in, it if you don't believe in God's one and only son, Jesus. So it ain't about the sins. So whoever's out there preaching Mosaic law and trying to make you feel bad, if you don't check off all the boxes of righteousness, you can't make yourself righteous.
That's right.
You're going to mess up all the time.
That's right. And I would say to fellow believers, careful how you handle people. Because you do not want to be, to say that you are a representation of Jesus Christ and you out there crushing people. Crushing their spirits, crushing their hearts. And in actuality, you are leading them away from Jesus instead of towards him. I would just say, careful how you handle God's people.
And again, even to reiterate that, you know, we're going to speak to Christians at this second. We can't ever get into a place of thinking that we did anything to receive righteousness.
That's right.
There's absolutely nothing we could have done, or else Jesus wouldn't have came to make us righteous.
Right.
So we have to always remember that we need Jesus. And anytime you are listening to, or you're before any preacher or pastor that is trying to lead you away from Jesus and the righteousness that he gave, you better run.
That's
because the only way to God, that that ministry of reconciliation has to do with highlighting that Jesus is the only savior of the world. He's the only one that can reconcile you to God.
That's right.
There is no one else. There is no one else. There is no other God that can lead you to the Most High God. And
that's
Jesus is the Son of God. And he's indeed fully human, fully God. I'm going to keep saying that. I don't care who don't like it. I'm going to say it because it's true, you know. And it's sad when we see people that say that they are Christians, but yet they're trying to X Jesus out of that salvation. You cannot be a follower or Christ if you exit him out of it.
That's right.
You are following the devil. And that's just all it's to it. Because Jesus, just like Jesus showed love to that prostitute, he shows love to the whole world. That's why he gave his life for the whole world, so that people will receive him. This does not mean he condones sin. He did not. He constantly said, go and sin no more.
That's what he said.
But that was not a condemnation statement. That was a statement of, this is how you go and live life from now on.
Right.
So that's the difference. He leads you, he guides you, and how you should live.
That's right.
And that's how he tells you should live. Go and sin no more. That means it takes effort to try not to live a life that's raggedy. It takes effort. It does not mean we're going to be perfect, but you gotta try.
You gotta try
to just not to mean you focus on every day, I gotta do this and do this. No, it just means walk in love.
That's right.
And love, walking in love will fulfill the law, which means walking in love, you're not going to harm your neighbor if you're walking in love. You're not going to do wrong and steal from somebody if you're walking in love, because you're going to honor them, because you're going to think of them as you think about yourself.
Love
your neighbor as you love yourself. So Jesus is about love, you know. And again, you know, whoever's listening, if you don't know Jesus, but you're feeling that tug in your heart, to lay it at his feet, to lay your heart at his feet, to receive him as Lord and Savior. Here's a prayer. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
And God raised you.
And God raised you.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I need you in my life.
I need you in my life.
Because I need a Savior.
Because I need a Savior.
I need my heart.
I need my heart.
In the hands of the one.
In the hands of the one.
Who will treasure it.
Who will treasure it.
And take care of it.
And take care of it.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
I make you my Lord and Savior.
I make you my Lord and Savior.
Okay, now if you have prayed that simple prayer, you are now born again in mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. Praise God. Welcome to the family of yes. God. Get you a Holy Bible with a translation you can understand, like mm-hmm. New King James Version, New Living Translation, New International Version, English Standard Version. Yes. You know, pray and ask God to lead. That's just a few. Pray and ask God to lead you to the right Bible-based church with Jesus as the center. This yes. is a life-changing moment in your life. You are needed somewhere in the body of Christ, and your life is about to show the world that the Lord Jesus is truly one that is worth laying your heart in his hands.
Yes.
So if you have any questions, please contact us by going over to our website, spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com, and click the Contact Us tab. Yes. We want to hear from you and help point you in the right direction. You know, I want to also pronounce a blessing, a closing blessing and prayer over you.
Yes.
May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for all that have tuned in to listen on yes. this day. We pray blessings upon them and their family. We pray that they receive all that they needed from you, that your word would be glorified in their lives, and that their lives would now be worth living to honor you, God. And for this, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. Yes. In Jesus' great name we
in
pray.
Jesus' name.
Jesus is Lord, and we say grace and peace to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to We Are She Talks podcast. If our content has blessed you in any way, reach out, let us know, and also share it with your family and friends. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S2E18. While you're there, take our short survey. Follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SD's list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's devotional episodes. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.